Look who I found. It's Miss Bix. And you look incredibly festive, dear. You're all in pink and sparkly. Rosy cheeks.
Of course I'm a hoo.
Of course you are.
I'm a hoo-ho.
Thank you. And a lovely woman just came by and offered us champagne and cookies. The clowns are here.
But it's all the clowns.
The clowns. Oh, right, because we're in a clowns. We're at Kinky Salon, and this is Hoobalation. So everyone's dressed up as hoos and ice princesses and reindeer and elves. And the Sugar Plum elves are here, and Skanky Claus is here.
Skanky Claus, yes. It's the most Christmas-tacular event of the year.
Indeed. Kinky Salon, if you don't know it, is like the most ridiculous, friendly, weird, bacchanalian, sexy, arty sex party, but optional. I mean, you don't have to have sex at Kinky Salon, but you could. It's certainly an option.
It's always an option.
Yeah. So, and you do a party here called Velvet.
Yes, I do.
Tell us about Velvet. It has some very special qualities.
It does.
Any guy would die to go to this party.
They would, and they're always asking me, but no cisgendered men are allowed. It's for queer and bi women, intersex, genderqueer, fierce femmes, badass boys.
Now this B-O-I.
B-O-I, yes, B-O-I boys. Mm-hmm. Butches, trans women, trans men.
Because there's a lot of ways to be like sliding on the gender scale of woman. But if you're cisgendered male, that's same gender male. That's like you were born a man and you look like a man and you're coming in here looking like a man.
Identify as a man.
Right. Then, I'm sorry, this play party is not for you.
Exactly.
However, if you are any flavor of feminine woman, whatever,
then you are more than welcome.
When is your next Velvet?
The next Velvet is going to be January 6th. We are now on the first Friday of every month. We've gone monthly.
Cool. That's awesome. I'm glad that you've found so much in the... Because, I mean, I think people think that women don't go to sex parties.
They're so wrong.
Tell us what you've learned running Velvet. Like, there must be something like... I'm sure the feeling is a lot different than a heterosexual or like a swinger party.
It is. But it's very... What I love about it is that it's so diverse across the gender spectrum, just in every way you can think of, age-wise, culturally. It's just really been a diverse party, which makes me really happy because that's something that I really am striving for. And it's very, very hot. There's a lot of sex happening at this party.
You know, I wondered about that because sometimes the thing is with women, at least this is for me, like I don't know who is supposed to be hitting on who, so sometimes I get a little bit lost. Although, I don't know, how do you kick it up a notch? Like how do you make it so that like everyone knows that it's time to play?
Well, basically I usually make an announcement around midnight, 12:30. That it's time to make a pile of girls in the back room.
And
I say girls because, I mean, everybody's welcome no matter how they identify at the party, but I say pile of girls because I basically modeled this party on another party that I used to go to and still do go to when it happens in San Francisco called Girl Pile, which a friend of mine hosts. And when I was living in Seattle before I moved to San Francisco, I used to fly down here just for Girl Pile.
Right.
The first Girl Pile happened on my birthday, actually.
I
went to my first
to
ever sex party that day. It was actually a friend's birthday party, but it was on my birthday. And afterwards, we went over to a friend of theirs' house, and what I had really asked for my birthday was a pile of girls, and that happened.
Yay.
And it evolved into a regular event called Girl Pile.
Oh, no, you were the first Girl Pile.
I was part of the first Girl Pile.
Ah,
and I loved it so much, and it was so transformative and empowering that I would come down here just for Girl Pile.
Right.
And then after I moved here, Girl Pile wasn't happening as much. So when Polly said, you know, we needed to have an event for women, I said, I'll host it.
Right.
And I wanted it to be as much like Girl Pile as possible because I've been to other women's events and women's sex parties. And they're a lot of fun, but there tends to be more, like, kind of processing and people kind of, you know, getting to know each other and
a lot of talking
before anything happens.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But my friend's idea about Girl Pile is it's really a sex party where women come to have sex. Mm-hmm. And the sex happens very quickly. She kicks it off by getting naked.
Oh, yeah.
And just kind of, you know, encouraging everyone else to get naked.
Right.
I don't really do that here because it's a party and I'm the hostess. But I do really encourage people to feel free to express themselves and to be sexual.
Right.
And it's been working really well.
Well, I can only imagine what a pile of girls must be like. You know, because everyone's soft and polite, but also like, hey.
You know what I mean?
It's pretty hot.
You're pretty.
You're pretty.
It's very hot.
No, you're pretty.
When I go back in the back room and there's a sea of girls all around the room, you know, on every surface, jumping up and down, I'd go, my work here is done. It's good. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's so exciting. Wow. Well, tell me more about, like, the sex-positive community that this space and you, as a part of Mission Control's steering committee, well, what kind of spaces are you trying to create? Other than sexy and ridiculous. As I'm watching a big blue bunny in big, sparkly, shiny heels.
I don't know.
Scotty the Blue Bunny.
Yeah, shoot some sort of gun at a clown porno? What?
Well, this is a volunteer-run, membership-based organization. Everyone is a member, and it's run by volunteers. So everybody feels invested in the community. It's not a party that is about making money. It's about creating community and creating sex-positive, creative, fun social events. And the social aspect is just as important, if not more important, than the fact that there's sex happening at these parties. I come to these parties because this is my social life. You know, I almost never play here because A, I'm often working, and B, I'm having too much fun hanging out and talking to all my friends.
Right, right. Well, what I love about this is it's just nice to be, I mean, I don't always have sex when I come to Kinky Salon. I certainly feel like I could, you know, there's big baskets of condoms everywhere and tons of sexy people, and it's certainly a very friendly environment, but what I love about it is you don't feel like you have to. It's not the point.
Absolutely.
Like, that's not the reason that we come here.
That's right.
And also, I don't know what just happened, but I'm sure it was weird. I love Kinky Salon because it's a chance to be in a sex-positive environment where people are having sex around, you know. So it's a sexy environment, but it's not like, it's not serious. You know what I mean? It's not like the Power Exchange where everyone's staring at you.
It's totally playful.
Right. Exactly.
And one of our big things is consensuality. Mm-hmm. It has to be consensual. You have to ask before you touch. It's all about making it a safe space for everyone.
Right. Right.
And the PAL system helps that everyone has to come with a PAL.
So oh, there's yeah, no like the buddy people, system?
Yeah, there's no, like, single guys on their own cruising. We don't allow that here.
Right, right, exactly. Well, Vix, it's been so fun to talk to you. It's great to see you.
It's great to see you, too. You look fabulous.
This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is Sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica on FCCFreeRadio.com.
So I haven't even left the clowns yet, and they're doing their porn shoot with the little dart guns and the crazy adult film that every now I will get distracted by, and I'll try to keep it together. Okay, I'm just going to try to keep it together. And I found Miss J. Delicious. You have so many hats, so many talents, so many ways of being sex positive and fun. Do you want to say anything about how you are involved in the sex positive community?
In my nightlife, I have to say I'm an instigator of erotic good times and pleasure activism.
Woohoo!
During my
pleasure activism.
Which is an important role. During my daytimes, I also have a pretty legitimate job involving ensuring that the future generations will also be not only sex positive, but body positive, shame free, full of medically accurate information about how things work, anatomy, physiology, STDs, birth control, all those things. So I walk my talk in both my night and day worlds. That is
exactly what I want to talk about, is the future of sex positivity, because the New Year's theme is what, Utopia, right? For the Mission Control party here.
I do believe. And Utopia, there are Yes, utopias and dystopias. I think we currently live in a culture that is a little dystopic around our sex positivity. So we can do a lot to improve it. And this community here in particular is holding up quite a standard, I have to say.
So let's talk about the dystopian sex. I mean, because it's almost not even sex positive. Well, let's just let's review a little bit, because like consumerism, yeah, right? Commodifying sexiness,
totally.
Making a sex scarcity, like you're never gonna get whatever it is because you're not whatever it is. You got to buy this and spray it on yourself first.
Well, that and teaching children to be full of shame and think that their bodies are not beautiful places or seats of desire or pleasure, or even just thinking that pleasure in and of itself is a negative thing, which is the first thing we do when we come out of a cunt is desire. I mean, the first thing we want is the great titty. I mean, hello, that's like desire and pleasure all wrapped up into our initial like yearning. So why, it's probably the nature of all sort of human desire of anything, food, love, lust, desire to connect with, the oneness of the universe, all that stuff's all totally connected to wanting the big titty. First thing we want.
Yes.
Come on out and we want it.
Okay, so now we're crowning. We're crowning into the utopian future of sex positivity. We are being born into the world that we are creating. And what is that world? What does that world look like? What does it feel like? What is it?
It's a world where every human being gets to fully express themselves as who they are. And a world where those human beings, because they need to be fully expressing who they are, including their beautiful multiplicities of sexualities and genders and orientations, also sees that you have to dismantle the fucked up-ness in the world. You have to dismantle the systems of oppression that create worlds that make it impossible to be who you are. So it would mean a world where you have to dismantle racism, homophobia, sexism, lookism, fat phobia, all that hoo-ha.
Classism.
Oh yeah, classism, economic disparity, all that hoo-ha that totally ends up putting people into places that they may not want to be. But
scarcity, fear. Well, economic disadvantage.
Yeah, all of that. So, I think sex-positive culture has a lot to do with transforming the world, because we are celebratory people, and we want other people to get to celebrate, and we see it all as linked, So, and also a lot of us work in the world in a lot of, hardcore, crazy, justice-making kind of ways, and we need places where we can kind of just be and have a good time. And that's part of what this community, full of crazy fucking clowns shooting horn.
Yeah, but little dart guns.
With Nerf
horns.
Guns.
Yeah, exactly.
Nerf
and
guns.
And it's not like... It's
just
really
kind of irreverent and
too.
Hysterical,
yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
What's going on.
Yes. And there's cookies and champagne and lots of clowns.
Yeah, totally.
This is kind of your family. This is a family holiday. It's Christmas. Everyone's got their Christmas tree. Some people are the Christmas tree.
Well, it's Christmas. It's solstice. It's Festivus. It's Kwanzaa. It's Hanukkah. It's,
it's
Saturnalia. It's jubilation. It's all those things all rolled into one. Yeah, and this is a... Family is a big chosen hodgepodge of freakazoids.
Pretty, pretty, pretty freaks.
Pretty and smart and savvy and crafty and creative and just a heck of a good time to be around, So that's what it's about. Celebrating in the darkest times, finding some juicy goodness in the dark times.
Yeah, with the downturned economy, et cetera. But, I feel so optimistic. I mean, of course... I really do hope that we get to keep Obama. I personally would like to. He seems better than, I don't know, what, Newt Gingrich? We really think that Newt Gingrich is a good choice?
But it's comical, though, because there's no way that zany guy is going to get elected. I mean, so it's comical. It's just going to be comedy. But, Obama could do a little bit more when it comes to, say, funding positive sex education. I mean, he did release some monies in the last 2 years to not fund abstinence-only bullshit. He actually released money to fund comprehensive sex ed, which was good. But it was a piss-in-the-pot amount of money, and the number of kids who still need to hear actually how their bodies work, and not just that they shouldn't be doing things, that they actually get a positive message that helps them live the rest of their, sexual lives, would be good.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Abstinence-only sex education. Is it an oxymoron? Because, abstinence isn't really sex. And if you're only talking about abstinence, that's not really education.
No, and it
but that's what they teach here in America.
Yeah, in most, well, this state, for more than 10 years has refused to take any of that money, and in fact in that time has reduced their STD rates and teen pregnancy rates enormously because they were doing actually comprehensive sex ed. So abstinence is only stupid because it is, puberty is about becoming reproductive. It's part of what the body does and wants. Hormones are coursing through the body. People are getting horny, and their bodies are yearning to be with, to come, and that's what they want to do. And yet we need to teach kids not to be afraid of that energy, but to know how to be with it in ways that are healthy and positive. Because if you tell them not to do something, and that's all you get, you think that that's what they're going to do the rest of their life? I mean, people are human and sexy from the time they come out of the womb until the time they die. And if all you teach them is to just do nothing, you think you're going to grow up into being healthy, positive, sexually fulfilled adults in any form of relationship? Probably not. Even, you know, heteronormative, monogamous people who learn abstinence only, who then, you know, go off and do the I'm supposed to get married thing, probably not going to have healthy sexuality because they haven't learned all the good stuff. Or just the realistic stuff about what it is and how it works.
How to talk about sex. How to talk about what you want. How to touch your clitoris.
Totally. How to communicate. How to have trust. How to, say what you want, what you don't want. All of that. So, yeah, abstinence only doesn't work. People need to know the real deal about what, you know, how the body works and how to communicate.
I think if you look at a lot of different studies about abstinence-only education and pledges, you know, the pledge, when the kids pledge that they won't...
More often, earlier, and without protection. So the counterintuitive thing is if you teach kids everything about sex, totally truthfully and upfront, they tend to, in and of their own accord, delay their sexual activity because they tend to also respect themselves. And when they do begin onset of sexual activity, they tend to do it in safer ways with communication with their partner. So if we actually talk about it, they actually go out and do it probably at a more age-appropriate time in safer, healthier ways. Whereas if you don't talk about it, they tend to jump in the bag, do a bunch of things that they don't know what the consequences are, and, you know, often end up with consequences that they never even thought about. Like the school I went to where there was a gonorrhea outbreak where nobody knew that you could get gonorrhea from oral sex. And everybody was getting gonorrhea because there was plenty of blowjob activity going on. So, you know, if we teach people that, then they might actually make some decisions to how to, you know, mitigate those consequences.
Well, that's the thing, because if you don't have any other so one of the things that I was learning from my complete lack of sex education, we didn't really get any sex education in Alaska, and my mom didn't want to talk about sex. So I got the library. I got where do you come from, and then the one about puberty. But that...
Libraries are good places for people who are isolated or don't have access. I mean, that's where a lot of kids end up learning stuff. So, yeah. Good for you.
And then there's always the internet, right?
Which, you know, good or bad, right. Depends on the site and what you're accessing. It's not always, you know.
Scarletine, kids. Scarletine.com.
Scarletine rocks, totally. There's a cool site for, like, puberty-age kids. It's actually awesome. It's called Growing Up Comes First. And it's, like, interactive and has videos and is really cute and accurate. And it's cartoons, and it also has a pull part for, like, parents and adults who work with kids. So that's an awesome site for younger people.
Well, I want to talk about teaching, like, kids, like, masturbation or something different other than, you know, actual, like, because I think when I was a kid, I thought that sex was only penis-vagina intercourse. I didn't know that there was other ways to experience pleasure. You know?
Well, I mean, I feel lucky because I grew up in a strange window of opportunity within the sort of 70s and 80s where there was this movement sort of both in the country and also in my particular religious community where sex ed was important and to be taught. And I had a 6-month program that was completely open about all forms. We met once a week, and it was a
mixed... So you could come back with questions.
Yeah, and it was mixed gender groups, and we learned about masturbation, we learned about gay and lesbian sexual orientation, we learned about puberty change, we learned about everything. And it was totally upfront and totally honest, and it was totally cool. And by the end of that 6 months, we were able to, like, actually talk with each other as, you know, prepubescent and pubescent teenagers, like, so, like, why do you guys masturbate in the morning sometimes? And, you know, and then, like, actually learn about testosterone levels. And, you know, we were actually just able to talk about it. So I feel like I got to be the sex educator for all my peers because I was this one lucky kid in my school who got this kick-ass sex ed program in the you know, little window of opportunity that happened in the late 70s, early 80s. But not very many people have had that experience. Most people get 1 hour one day during their, you know,
and it's all fallopian tubes.
Yeah, and it's all like plumbing. It's all the like anatomy, physiology. It's like, yeah, this, you know, the vas deferens are connected to the seminal vesicle and the prostate gland. You're like,
and I'm never going to remember that. And why is that useful information?
Well, it is where semen comes from. I mean, that's, you know, interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know,
true.
But what's more interesting is things like, you know, it comes out 32 miles an hour and like, yeah, you know, it feels really nice. That's more interesting.
Well, yeah, I wish I'd gotten so much more information from my sex education. Like, I wished I'd gotten the information, like, you know, you don't have to, I mean, hey, you could cuddle, or hey, there's oral sex, or hey, you know, all sorts of things. Well, you could say no if you want to.
Yeah, or, I mean, I also feel lucky that I got to hang out with other teenagers in an environment where sex could have been an option, but also there was a lot of, my youth group actually had a lot of, cuddle piles and just massage
circles.
That's
awesome.
And like just lying around talking about stuff and like being able to be touchy-feely with each other and being able to be boundaried, but at the same time getting all that like skin hunger that people yearn for at that age fulfilled in ways that we could be like, yeah, that's awesome, let's all lie around together. And it was, you know, that was a really positive thing. I don't think there's that much opportunity for that without the assumption of like diving into someone's pants or trying to get to second base or all these things that are pressures people experience, both from peer pressure and from cultural pressure to go places they may not want to go yet. Whereas like lollygagging around in a big cuddle puddle is a really awesome thing for teenagers to get to experience and like to feel that like connection and love. But where in the world do they do that these days? You know, I don't know. So, but nonetheless, I still am positive. I still think that, like,
I don't know. There's a lot of things that can change. I mean, maybe someone listening to this broadcast can start a cuddle puddle for kids.
Oh, that would be sweet, but a huge litigious, problematic challenge in our erotic,
phobic,
you know, world. And adult supervision would be awkward, and yeah, I don't really know the way. But I do know that a lot of people in this community are also breeders of various natures, in vitro, for, you know, sperm bank and, you know, good old penis-vagina sex. And, you know, that means that they're going to be raising a generation of, hopefully, kids who have parents who are much more affirmative of kids' whole beings and getting to be who they are and grow up in a world where they're loved and their corporal vessels are loved and taken care of, too. So maybe that's part of the future.
I'm optimistic. I say yes. I think that we're teaching a lot of good things, and certainly all the work that you do. I mean, there's so many people that are doing sexy work, making the world more open and more sparkly and more sex positive, or even just sex neutral.
That is true. And it takes people doing it from all walks of life. Everything
all
from the everything from the people who go into the public schools and teach puberty classes to sex workers who are working with someone trying to overcome their, you know, fear of intimacy, or, you know, the crazy research scientists who are sticking people in MRI machines and watching our brains orgasm just to figure out how that can happen.
Right.
So it takes all of those walks to actually make the world change when it comes to at least this culture becoming more sex positive.
Speaking of MRIs and orgasms, I just recently read a study that it was about the right brain and MRI and orgasm, and apparently pleasure, like dopamine, all that stuff, is in your left brain. So that's all like, you know, anticipation of reward, not really being present in the moment, la la la.
Yeah.
But then orgasm is all right brain. And so a lot of people who have epilepsy will sometimes get a feeling like they're about, like it's kind of an orgasmic sensation.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll have an epileptic seizure, which is all right brain stuff, which is all about being present in the moment and, you know, feeling at one with the universe and like everything's colors and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like right brain.
I haven't read that particular study about right brain orgasmic response, but I did participate in an MRI study of orgasmic response at Rutgers University where but I know that that study did show some things happening with the hypothalamus and both sides of the brain in orgasmic response. That was a study that was funded by the Christopher Reeve Society. Yay, Superman! And they were trying to figure out, especially women who could have orgasm without any stimulation,
right.
That would be me, and some others, because that way we could isolate the activity in the brain and really look at what actually is happening during orgasm. You know, in the hopes that this would help not only folks who are ambulatory, but paraplegic people be able to have sexual response as well. So, pretty cool stuff.
That is really cool. Let's just back up a little bit. Okay, so she's talking about people who can walk and people who can't walk and what this means. And, you know, like, so people who can have orgasms without actual stimulation, what does that mean for what sex is? So, like, you can have an orgasm and not be stimulated. Are you interested in talking any more about that? Because I don't know that most people know that you can have an orgasm just
thinking it.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's like psychic gasm.
Well, I mean, for I know some of the other women who were in the study, and for some of us, it's a conscious thinking or using internal muscles, the pubococcygeus muscles, particularly.
That's your PC muscles.
PC muscle,
that you
the
use
Kegels.
Squeeze off when you're stopping your urine stream.
Right. Or the one that makes your penis wiggle, guys. The one that makes the penis go up and down.
Wave
you know,
the flag.
You know that one. That muscle can help make orgasm happen without using like manual stimulation or any other kind of stimulation. But some people can also just think themselves into orgasm, which says something about humans can be wired to have actually any part of the body be orgasmic, or none. The brain in and of itself can have orgasms. I mean, we know this because kids have wet dreams. We know this, that some people who have lost, you know, had a spinal cord injury, rewire themselves in a sense, and maybe their most erotic place is their earlobe, and that's the place that then is their site of orgasmic response. So it's not always genitally focused, which says, hey, open up your mind to what sensations are possible in the body, and what might be a turn on for you could be something surprising. You know, explore, figure it out, experiment, try not touching parts that you always touch, try experimenting something with a partner
totally.
That might make something all of a sudden juicy happen that you might not have noticed, you know, the back of the knee, behind the ear, you know,
the infinite possibilities.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah.
Because there's so many. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What is it called? Psycholangy or something? The ability to have orgasm just with your mind.
I can't remember a technical term or something
that I was hoping to offer people that they could Google. But I swear to you, this is actual a thing. Most people are like, really? No, really? And I'm like, yeah, no, it happens. And I have yet to actually meet someone, so thank you for saying so.
Yeah. Yeah, the study.
I've been dying to talk about this on the show for a long time.
Oh, well, we should do a whole show about it. We invite Barry Kamasarek, who's the amazing research scientist from Rutgers, who invited me to participate in the study. And he's a crazy old, wonderful guy. He's wicked smart, knows a ton about how brains and functional MRI machines, the ones that can like actually measure what the heck's going on in your brain while it's happening. It's not just taking still pictures. It's taking like actual like lighting up what's going on in your brain pictures,
wow,
which is really neat. And normally when your head is strapped to a board and you're shoved in a very small machine, most people don't find that hot. But I do.
I have a little bit of
medical science fetish, so
oh, good for you.
That made it actually better. Hearing Barry's little voice in my microphone saying, okay, you can have an orgasm now. Normally that would be slightly creepy, but
right.
No, not in this situation. It's like, yay for science.
Awesome. Amen. That's right. And we can imagine, only imagine what the future might hold.
Yeah.
Like
well,
maybe
chips
you,
in the
we
brain
could
that you just
learn
push a little
how
button.
To. Exactly. We could just learn how to have orgasms. And not have to work so hard at it. You know what I mean?
Well, that being said, I know that for me, orgasms are a relatively simple thing. But for a large percentage of women, especially, orgasm is a challenging thing or a non-existent thing. It's something that many women have said they've never experienced. So I don't want to, put... make
more
that
pressure
yeah more or pressure put that person make someone feel less than, because the whole body is a site of erotic activity and orgasm isn't the end all be all. Part of the whole problem of our culture is that we also have this very goal-oriented concept about, you know, sex is a, you know, step one, step two, step three, and everyone should have mutual, simultaneous, mind-boggling orgasms, which is ridiculous. In fact, one should just move from one pleasurable experience to another and see what comes next. And sometimes, great releases happen, and sometimes they don't. And that's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, I think it's important that while we acknowledge the possibility of mind-boggling psychic orgasms and female ejaculation and all kinds of different, like, footgasms and whatever kind of gasms, you know, that whatever kind of pleasure you're experiencing is perfect and no pressure to experience something different. I mean, yeah. I know that there's like this kind of way of being like fashionable, the new thing in sex education is whatever, but anyway, whatever you're experiencing, if you like it, we are happy for you.
No pressure. What you like.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with Kazakhstan, Armenia, Beijing, the people that are listening to Sexploration with Monica? I know, Kazakhstan! I'm so excited. I've been so excited for weeks. Those 42 downloads from Kazakhstan really have me right here.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I know!
I hope that there's a world and a place where people can do this cross-cultural sharing around the pockets of sex positivity that probably exist in all cultures. You know, some people
would love to hear from you, by the way.
Yeah, some people probably have a harder road to walk to find those places because the culture is even more repressive than the one we happen to live in. So I say, you know, don't give up, don't lose hope, find your pleasure, be an activist for bliss and communication and delight and desire.
Oh, thank you so much. Such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yay! So glad I finally get to talk to you with a microphone in our mouths. Yay.
I know. And in such a ridiculous environment as well. Like, whoa. So much beauty, so much ridiculousness, so much sparkle, so much weird.
So much goodness and sexy, silly people having a good time. We're really funny monkeys, and that's an awesome thing.
Amen. Hey there. Okay, yeah. I don't know if you can hear me because it's really happening in here, but there's a man who is wearing a full vinyl checkered glittering blue bunny suit in sparkle here. Remember the guy who was shooting the porn gun at the shoot thing? You know what I'm saying? Okay, so anyway, that guy is now blowing up the most enormous red balloon I've ever seen. Everyone's clapping. Everyone's cheering him on. He's blowing. He's blowing. He's blowing. He's got a little blue bunny tail. He's really demonstrative of this whole blowing experience. And actually, there's actually kind of porn that has to do with balloons. It's really interesting. But anyway, so now he's tying a knot in the balloon, and the banjo is playing, and he's like showing it to the audience. Everyone's excited. He's taking a deep breath. And now he's like running it all over his body and kind of posing as if, you know, like, look what I've made. And it's really about the same size as his torso. That's how big. And this is a large man wearing high heels and a large blue bunny suit. I mean, the ridiculousness is kind of a next level thing. A checkered bunny suit. And he's kind of doing this demonstrative and he's kind of doing this navel-y kind of labial. And now we're passing the balloon around the room and clapping. Hey, now we're kind of gonna send it back to the poop bunny and he doesn't want us to throw it around anymore. And now he's showing us those are his bunny buns. He's now touching his toes, which is actually quite a valiant effort. For a man of his size in heels that are, I mean, he's wearing platform 6-inch, okay, so like 6-inch heels plus like another 2 inches of platform. And they sparkle. And he's displaying the balloon. And we're cheering because we wonder what's going to happen next. What's going to happen to the balloon? So he's astride the balloon now. He's rubbing the balloon. Woo! I didn't think it would happen that quickly. I hope your ears are okay. And it was filled with glitter. And now everyone's cheering. And that's the sort of ridiculousness one can expect.
That's real time.
It is Scotty the Blue Bunny.
Scotty the Blue Bunny and Cookie Salon. So much ridiculousness. Oh my God.
You enjoying this, Kat? Did you get a picture there for kids?
I think we have a winner.
We have a wiener!
Ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for a champion.
The candy cane licking contest.
I mean, everyone's a wiener here at Pinky Salon, but especially the sword fighting champion here.
all of our
so Tex just won the candy cane licking contest. If you can imagine, very large candy canes.
Wow!
In a very suggestive way, and then you kind of get what's
so,
going on here.
In this recession, it's good to have prizes you can eat. It's very forward thinking of you.
I'm sitting here next to the Christmas tree with none other than Sarah Kiss. She has been running Club Kiss, actually, for quite some time. How long did you run Club Kiss with your husband, Chris?
It has been going on for at least 2.5 years now, I would say, Monica.
And we were just talking a little bit about family and the different connections that, you know, I was thinking of kind of the metaphorical family of, you know, the family that we create here at a ridiculously beautiful sex party, sexy party. But then you were like, yeah, my parents actually know about you throwing a sex party. So how did that come up over the Thanksgiving dinner table? How did that go over?
So to speak. Well, I think eventually it just became one of those things that became so integrated into sort of my being that this was part of who I was. I was part of this sex positive community. It was something I was proud of. It was something that I had worked really hard for. That it was one of those things where it was like, well, why not just tell them, you know? So I don't know, it just kind of came out naturally one of those days. Chris and I were honored to sit on a panel with Carol Queen and Dossie Easton, I think. And I don't know, I was kind of like, hey, you know what? This is
I'm
rad.
I'm on a panel with Dossie Easton.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And like, she wrote this amazing book,
right.
And it changed my life. And then, of course, then everything was out on the table, so to speak. And my parents were rock stars. It really, I think, were impressed that, hey, you know what? That works. And it works for my daughter, and it works for other people. Mwah. Sorry, someone blew a kiss at me.
Oh, no, I understand. Sometimes you have to blow them back.
I had to blow back.
So Sarah is married to Chris, and they've been hosting Club Kiss, which is another of the sexy events that they throw here at Mission Control. So tell me a little bit about the trajectory of the kind of the family connections that you've made here at Mission Control. Because, I mean, I know that, you know, you have the Alliance, and there's so many different volunteers, and I mean, almost people don't really come to Kinky Salon to actually have sex. They just want to see, you know, their sex-positive family.
Yes. I mean, that's 100% true.
It's kind of true, really?
Yeah. No, I mean, for sure, it's a, I know, how would you put it? Maybe a bonus if you, you know, say meet that sexy couple that you came looking for or something. But, no, it's totally, it's all about family. I call everybody here my urban family. And it's all about, you know, the connections you make and the fact that people really stand behind you. And I can attest to that from a personal perspective, you know. Everyone's really stuck behind me personally at times, and I've seen it happen for so many other people. We all love each other so much, and everyone's accepting of everybody. You know, it's regardless of, like, age, size, gender, sexuality, whatever you want to look at, it's, like, you are who you are, you're beautiful, like, bring it here. That's all I would say.
I just love that, because it's like suddenly sex is transcending sex, right? So it's not about the sex anymore, we're just, like, connecting and human beings and, you know, sharing the good times and the sticky times and, you know what I mean? All of it.
Right, and in the end, it's like, sex is fun and sex is funny and sex is sensual and lovely and a really wonderful way to connect with people, and it can create friendships, or friendships can come out of sex, or sex can come out of friendships, or there's so many different permutations, and it's like, I don't know, it's a beautiful thing here, and I haven't been back to Mission Control in a number of months, actually. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, like, re-welcoming to walk up these stairs and see all these wonderful faces, you know?
Like coming home if your family had joined the circus and...
Yes, and decided to wear a lot of Santa outfits.
Right, and they were all elves, actually, yes.
Precisely.
Yeah. We're at Hoobalation. It's a party by Kinky Salon. I'm sitting here with the beautiful Miss Sarah Kiss. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Lovely.
So good that it's pink.
I'm now here with Marsha Baczynski, who is a sex educator extraordinaire. So many good qualities, so many classes that she teaches and websites. It's askforwhatyouwant.com.
Asking.
For what you have to actually ask. Yes. So asking
it's
for
the process of asking for what you want.
Her most recent article, or actually I don't even think that you have, you actually have a more recent article than the boundary one, but the boundary one is so good.
We can talk about that.
Well, because especially over the holidays, you're always stressed out because everyone's want, you know, they want you to chip in a little bit more for the Christmas thing at work, or you have 17 parties to go to in one day. I mean, how do you take care of yourself?
The thing I talked about in the article, and it's been amazing. People have so responded to that
particular
article.
It is so hard to make healthy boundaries. Woo! We're like, really? A guideline for making healthy boundaries?
I wrote a script.
I love it.
If you go to the website, you can get the script on how to set a boundaries. If you don't know what to say, just go to askingforwhatyouwant.com, and it'll tell you what to say. Start with what you're a yes to, right? Like, what do you want out of the situation? Which most of the time we start with, oh, God, I'm totally freaked out. I don't want to do that.
I don't want this anymore.
But if you're like, oh, wait, let's stop, and, well, I do like this person, and I do want to spend time with them, and maybe not right now, or maybe not in this way, or maybe not spending that much money, but I do like them.
Right. If you're like, well, actually, I am a yes to telling me you have a nice hairstyle, and I appreciate you coming to my desk right now.
Right.
And have a nice day.
Like, I love your hair.
And Merry Christmas.
I think it's really great, and I'm excited.
I think it's great that you're collecting money for the whatever.
For the whatever. And I don't feel like I have the extra money to spend right now.
Right.
So I'm going to say no.
And you talk about I statements. Can we talk about the importance or why you would want to have a sentence that starts with the word I?
Yeah. I mean, well, if you own what's there for you, they can't argue it. That's the beauty of the I statement, right?
So you're like, talking about your own experience.
This is what's up for me.
This is what I'm feeling.
Right. And if I'm feeling this, you can't argue it. There's nothing you can say that makes it not true.
You are not experiencing that.
I am. It's true.
Yeah, right.
It actually is true.
Yeah.
But when I say, like, I feel, you know, pressured, or I feel worried, or I feel scared, or I feel anxious, or whatever it is, it's an unarguable statement. So then you don't get into that thing that happens a lot of the time where you have to try to
bickering back
convince.
And forth.
Like, you feel like you're trying to convince somebody of something.
Right.
If you stick to what's true for you, then it's like, well, this is just what's true for me.
Right.
You can't argue it. And then you get what you want more often. Not
right.
always, but way more often.
Well, it really helps to actually tell the person what you want.
Yes.
Then they're much more likely to be able to give it to you.
Right, yeah. That's the other thing about setting a boundary is a lot of times people don't actually set the boundary. They, like, walk away, or they hint, or they say, oh, that was weird, or whatever. But they don't actually, like, say, this is what I want. This is what's there for me. This is what, you know, so if you're like, I don't want to spend them, you know, I don't want to spend the money. You can say it in a mean way, or you can say it in just like a, that doesn't really work for me kind of way.
It's important to make healthy boundaries, and especially over the holidays or at sex parties. You know, you'd really want to know, you know, what your boundaries are. Think about them in advance. How much do I want to commit to whatever it is, right?
Yeah, I had to set a boundary with somebody earlier. He was getting a little grabby, and I was like, I really like that you're asking, and I really need to go see my friend right now. So if you'd like to ask again later, you can, but not now.
Awesome. See, and then
well.
He knows what he wants, right?
He took it well. He thought it was pretty awesome.
Right. You know, your cohort of the cuddle, Reed Mihalko, actually taught me a really fabulous thing. Marsha Baczynski also founded Cuddle Party, which is this huge phenomenon. It's like a fun party, but it's not a sex party. But you do talk about boundaries and cuddling and that sort of thing. But what I love about it is if someone says no to you, and so you have something to say that's positive, thank you for taking care of yourself.
Thank you for taking care of yourself is my favorite way to receive a boundary. Because when somebody actually draws the line, it's usually really hard for them. And even if I don't like to hear it, I'm really big on encouraging people to have boundaries, because that means when they say yes to something, I can trust it.
Right, exactly. And, you know, I really do want someone to be taking care of themselves when they're in any kind of relating with me. I mean, even if it's like, would you like a drink? And then they're like, no! And I'm like, okay, good.
Well, you know, I don't want to be sleeping with somebody and have them not really wanting to be there. So
For sure.
If you can't say no, then your yes is kind of worthless in a lot of ways.
That's totally true.
So cultivating that ability to say no and set boundaries is a really important piece of asking for what you want and saying yes to stuff, because then people can trust you.
Exactly. So the other article that you wrote recently actually would come in super handy here at a sex party, a sexy party, whatever. And it was the, I know it had something to do with men and the four ways of attracting a man's attention.
Five,
was that it?
Five ways to attract a man's attention, affection, and adoration.
Oh, and adoration.
Adoration, yes. Yeah.
Are you going to give us a couple of, maybe a top three? just
top
for tonight.
Top three of the five. Well, they all kind of go together. I wrote it with my friend Brian Bayer of Authentic World, and we're going to be co-teaching a class in January on, basically it's called the No Man Diet, and it's about...
The No Man Diet?
The No Man Diet. So if you go to nomandiet.com.
Does that mean you're not going to sleep with any men for some amount of time?
It's for 6 weeks. But it's not about cutting out men, because we love men. We think men are great. And it's also, you don't even have to be heterosexual to do the course. But what the course is about is kind of blocking out all those ways that you, like, chase for attention or try to get something from, you know, in this case, men. There's a No Woman Diet as well. You could go to nowomandiet.com if you're more interested in that. But it's basically about really blocking out those ways that you kind of let your energy and your attention leak to other people that you're not even really interested in, but you just want to get that, like, validation crack pipe. Yeah, that hit off that, the validation crack pipe. So, so let's see, top three, gosh.
Yeah, top three ways to get a man's adoration and attention and affection.
Well, the first one is self-care. So people, I mean, men or women, really, but when you really take care of yourself, you're going to attract the kind of person you want to be in a relationship, the kind of man you want to be in a relationship, the kind of woman you want to be in a relationship with. Here's the secret. If you're a woman and you want to get a man, it's actually not that hard. You can just go down to your local dive bar. But if you want to get a man who can actually
treat you well. And I imagine that it's about, like, consciousness and actually caring for yourself, like physically and,
physically taking,
you know,
care
taking
of
care of yourself, like getting enough sleep and drinking enough water and all of that stuff. Yeah, totally.
Right, because, you know, if you really want somebody to take care of you and you don't take care of yourself, it's not very attractive.
It's not really setting a good standard, is
right.
it?
Yeah. But if you really take care of yourself and you want somebody to take care of you, then it's a much higher standard, and you're going to attract somebody who's interested in taking care of somebody, like taking care of you, when you keep that caliber of care just as your baseline.
Well, not only that, but you have so much more to give in a relationship.
Absolutely.
If you're taking care of yourself. Because, like, if you are coming from a place of, like, I got my stuff together, I'm feeling abundant, I've got energy.
I'm sleeping well, I'm eating well, I look good, I feel good in my own skin.
I had a kale salad for lunch. Woo! I'm going to take on the world.
Totally.
Okay, so number two.
Being in touch with your sensuality. So not just like, oh, can I respond when a guy touches me, but like actually enjoying
sensations,
like the five senses. Right. Like, what is your really taking in what your food tastes like? Making noises when things feel good or smell bad or whatever.
Communicating and experiencing, not just shutting down your sensations.
Right, and it's hard because, you know, it's sort of considered like a little kid thing to be like, ooh, yay, or ew, yuck.
Oh, yeah.
But there's something also really cool about women who are that in touch with sensation.
Right.
And men find that really attractive. People, I think, find that really attractive. But men find that really attractive because that gives them a clue how you're going to respond in bed.
Openly, honestly, vociferously.
You know, it's like, well, if they respond to the shower or to a flower or whatever. I didn't even mean to rhyme. But another one that I think is super important is allowing the world to impact you.
Ah.
And what I mean by that is actually feeling what's there. So, like, I don't know. It's really hard. Like, sometimes we, you know, we go to work and you have to put on a tough face and you have to, like, especially if you have a corporate job or you're, like, really professional or you're a boss, you have to hide what you're feeling and, like, you know what's going on and you know a bunch of people are about to get fired, but you can't show it or,
right.
you know, that kind of crappy
no,
stuff.
No, you oftentimes have to hide your authentic self to make money in this world.
To make money in this world. And that can become the habit and that can become the default. But I think when you really cultivate that capacity to respond to your environment and respond to what's there and like, oh, that doesn't feel good or, oh, that sucks or, oh, that's so exciting. And like let yourself be lit up or be sad and or feel it when somebody you care about says, I love you. Mm-hmm. Like you actually feel that land on you. Mm-hmm. Men respond to that. And I, you know, again, I don't think it's necessarily gendered completely, but if you're a woman who wants to get a man's attention, these are like majorly important tools to cultivate. And I think even separately from your relationships, they'll make you happier in your life if you have
right.
those
and
tools.
You'll experience more pleasure if you're in touch with your sensations and taking care of yourself.
Absolutely.
And allowing the world and the universe to affect you and reach you.
Yeah. And to be sad and to be happy and to be angry and to be
right, just to feel things.
Thrilled.
Yeah.
And all of that.
Totally.
And like have that nervous, giddy, and love feeling when you have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good stuff.
So we are soaking up the sex positive community, all of the good stuff here at Kinky Salon, and I'm thinking about the future, of course, because the next party is about the future, their New Year's Eve party.
Yeah.
What do you think sex positivity and the revolution of pleasure that's going on in San Francisco right now, what do you think that's going to bring to the future, the next 10 years, the next 20 years? What's the future going to be like as a result of the work that you're doing right now?
Well, I have to say that if I look to the last 10 years, the previous 10 years, like thinking back to 2001, it has blown my mind how much more stuff is available.
Yeah, right? Well,
so when I think to 2021?
Yeah, what it's going to be like.
Oh my gosh, like it is just, there's so much expansion happening. There's so much possibility happening. The internet has made so much possible. And
isn't
I think
it amazing?
It's only going to expand as the technology improves. People getting connected and feeling, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one in the world who thinks this or has this kink or has this fetish. Like, just the continued connectivity. And I think the other thing that's going to happen is actually going to happen offline, where people go, okay, I feel like I know there are other people like me. How do I find them near me? And I think that's going to be happening more and more. I think that
and
people
have real connections with them in person, not
in person.
Just in the computer.
Yeah, not just in that little box, that glowy screen.
Right, right. That we spend all of our time on. Well,
right.
Yeah.
So I'm excited with my work to be doing more to connect people in the physical real world. But with that framework of knowing that, you know, with Facebook and FetLife and all of these websites that then taking that back
FetLife, by the way, is the Facebook for kinky people.
Yeah, FetLife, so, yeah. FetLife.com.
Fetish Life, yeah.
FetLife.
FetLife.
Mm-hmm. FetLife.com.
Right.
But I think that the more people know, like, oh, there's people like me who are polyamorous or who are into spanking or who are queer or whatever your
who
thing is.
Who want to have an open relationship or
yeah.
whatever it is. Yeah.
The more that that's out there, the more people are like, okay, even if I don't know who they are, I can go into my office or I can walk down the street and be like, oh, there are people like me. Some of you are like me. I don't necessarily know who you are. Maybe I'll have a gathering. Maybe I'll have an outing. Maybe I'll have a meal where we can all come together and just be around each other. And I think
right.
that's going to happen more and more.
That's what I love about Kinky Salon is because it's a sex party where you don't have to have sex, but you can be around it in a sex-positive environment. So it's not, you know, it's not like sex is the big deal. It's just like it's around, you know, it's free.
It's here. And it's really cool to be in this. I love Kinky Salon, by the
yeah.
way. But I love this environment because it's not so much a sex party as a sexy party.
Right.
The priority is not on the sex.
But you could have sex. You could.
You can. But there's also, like, so much emphasis on creativity and play and sexy play, and it doesn't have to mean a whole lot.
Right.
And I also think that's a big trend for the next 10 years.
Right.
I really do. I think that the world is going to move more towards, hey, maybe it's not just about sticking the penis in the vagina all the time.
Right. Maybe it's about we can the do five that. Senses.
We can totally do that. But there's five senses, and let's enjoy all of them.
Right.
Yeah.
And as Christmas is a family holiday, I think people would be a little surprised to see how much we are getting down and into the Christmas. But let's talk about the Kinky Salon family and what it means to you.
Well, I'm sitting here cuddling with one of the people I consider a family member, who's waving at you all right now. Gosh, I don't even know where to start. I mean, I think that there's such an amazing community here, and I've watched people over the years. You know, it's really easy to come into an event like Kinky Salon and think, oh my gosh, yay, everybody's here, we have fabulous costumes. But I've seen divorces, and I've seen deaths, and I've seen children be born, and there's a real set in marriages, and, you know, just so much life change. And I think when you can connect with people and have sex included, it somehow makes it easier to connect when the real life stuff happens, because sex is a real life thing, and it's really vulnerable and raw
and visceral.
And visceral. And there's this real magic that happens when you know that the people around you have seen you have an orgasm.
Right.
That's
like, what do they call it? The little death.
The little death.
It's complete, like, you're making weird faces. You're like, ah.
Yeah. That when your relationship is having a hard time, or you're facing a health issue or all that, you know, I've just seen people really support each other in such incredible ways through this community. And I think that that's something that's pretty rare. And there's a vulnerability that comes with sharing orgasms, sharing sexiness, sharing your alter egos from the costumes you wear.
Right.
It just gives you like, oh, wow, they're dealing with, I mean, there's somebody in the community right now whose mother is dying, and he's young. His two young brothers who are still in high school and middle school, and the community came together and very low key just raised money. And there's just so much support that happens when nothing is taboo.
Right.
And I think that's really important.
And you can really feel things together and accept where you really are and
good, bad,
not
ugly,
pretend
whatever.
It's different.
Yeah, totally.
Right. Well, Marcia Baczynski, it's been such a pleasure.
Thank you, as always. I love being on your show.
AskingForWhatYouWant.com. That's where you can find all the juicy goodness.
Absolutely.
And when's your class again?
The No Man Diet and the No Woman Diet start January 5th.
I love it that the new sex classes are about not having sex. Let's go deeper. Down the rabbit hole.
Let's go.
Oh, that's interesting. Both of your names rhyme with sex. Tex and Lex.
Yes, they do.
I noticed that when you were signing up for the candy cane contest. He was part of the candy cane licking. And now Tex is motioning to Kat, and she's not sure if she wants to come on the radio right now, but that's okay.
I'm pretty sure she doesn't want to be involved.
Not right now. Okay. That's okay. We can just have a little threesome. We don't need to make it four. We're not greedy.
Of course we're greedy.
Okay,
of course
a little
we're greedy.
Greedy.
Lose control.
Okay, so let's talk about, man, it's hard to do this and watch the porn shoot at the same time.
Isn't it hard?
Yeah, we're here.
Watch the porn shoot.
In the clown.
Okay. So what are we at? What are we talking about, Monica?
We are talking about sex positive family. Like the family, this is a Christmas celebration, and so we're kind of getting down with our family here. And what makes this family oriented?
I've got to say that this is our fifth, Kat and I's fifth year here. And I'm going to give you the gun. And after 5 years,
that's
you know,
they're shooting
oddly
with
enough,
the porn shoot is this little dart gun.
It really has become family. I mean, being here 5 years ago with Mission Control for the first time, and I mean, it's a widely told story about how we were holding each other's hands, scared to death. We were always the odd people from where we came from in suburbia. And then we got dropped in the middle of this at Christmas with all of the light and the color and the people. And we thought, this has got to be a cult. Everyone is too nice. They're too good looking. They're incredibly friendly. They're really giving. Something is wrong with this scene. And now you know, even to maybe a year after that, suddenly we realized that it was family. Because it's an intentional community where everybody has respect for each other. You know, they're loving. You know, they come here with that intent to live their true selves. And it's a safe container for them. And, you know, oddly enough, 5 years later, we have found all of our family because of this community. And what really hurts is that it's singularly unique in the world. You know, like, why can't this be spread elsewhere? And I don't have the answer for that.
Well, they are trying. There is a Kinky Salon London. There's a Kinky Salon in Denmark. There are Kinky Salons around the world. What's that, Lex?
And in Amsterdam. I heard there's Kinky Salon Amsterdam as well.
So if you live in a foreign country and you contact Kinky Salon, you can do that at kinkysalon.com and talk to Scott and Polly about starting a Kinky Salon in the international location near you. I'm sure they're totally into it. I mean, they even have classes, Kinky Salon Boot Camp, where they teach people how to do it.
And there was a Kinky Salon Austin. I don't know what happened to that either.
Oh, I think that's still happening.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, maybe not all the time, because, I mean, how often can you do this? I mean, but Austin is pretty progressive for Texas.
I'm not, you know, I wish I could agree, Monica.
Really? Are you from Austin? Do you know?
I'm originally from Texas, and that's hence the name.
Ah, Tex, of
and
course.
And we were down in Austin a couple of years ago, and it's still very repressed.
Even in Austin,
it's not bad. San Francisco South, but the people who were doing it.
You can't have a dildo in Texas. It's illegal. You can't have a dildo in Texas.
It's still illegal. You
don't
can
touch
have
yourselves
a
down there now around here. Do you hear?
But San Francisco is very unique. I grew up in Berkeley and Oakland. I spent a lot of time here, and then I moved away, and I realized that it's a totally different scene, a totally different energy, a totally different vibe from anywhere else on the planet. You really can't find the community that you can find in San Francisco anywhere else. And to have people be so open and welcoming and without any ulterior motives, it's a very unique atmosphere that you really can't recreate it anywhere. I mean,
but you could try, and we want you to
try. Definitely, please try. Please bring Kinky Salon to everywhere. Bring it to every state in the U.S. and bring it to every country in the world, and we would love it. Bring it to Antarctica. Kinky Salon Antarctica.
Oh my God, wouldn't that be hilarious?
It'd be cold.
Yeah.
Well, we could put penguins in costumes, right?
of course, yes.
How did we get to penguin porn? This is not good, Monica. I mean, now it's all...
Okay, we're slipping down into the Antarctica penguin porn. But that's okay, because I have another question, the last question of the night for you two, Lex and Tex. Both Mission Control, the Alliance members? Or?
I would say luminaries.
Luminaries.
He's a luminary. I'm just an Alliance member and a member of this.
But you're pretty sparkly. And fluffy.
I am very fluffy, yes.
Okay, so the future. You know, the next party is Barbarella themed.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, it's like the future, you know. Like last year was
it was Barbarella.
Saucy Jack in the Space. Was it?
Yeah.
It was it Barbarella?
I totally came as Barbarella myself, and Kat was Barbarella themed, so.
Oh.
Okay, now what? It's Utopia. It's a whole new thing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Utopia. Right. Okay, so maybe I just got it wrong.
Yes.
Okay, so Utopia is the theme of the next New Year's party. And what is Sex Positive Community going to bring to the future in 10 years, 20 years? Where is it going to go? Where is it going from here? Is this just a beautiful, sparkling light in the heavens that's shimmering and going to fade away? Or what could happen? Look into your crystal ball, Tex. I know you've got one.
Ball.
Your crystal balls.
You know, what I see in 2012 overall is alignment and people coming into consciousness. You know, I've seen it with the OWS movement and people being so concerned about that.
That's
that even
Occupy Wall Street.
Occupy Wall Street movement. And when I see people back in Texas, being concerned in Dallas, the most vapid and banal Walmart parking lot SUV driving little Bever, going out and doing that, it makes me think that there is hope. And is there hope for
Amen.
Sex positive? Hey, man, there's hope for sex positivity in 2012. Hallelujah. Put your hands down your pants and just pray with me. I absolutely can happen. Absolutely, yeah. Can happen. I think it's part of the whole 2012 alignment because we're waiting for aliens at Burning Man. Now, don't tell everybody because they got a lottery on the tickets. But the
great
moment of singularity is going to happen out there, and if it sex pod, someone's going to fuck ET.
Lex, the future of sex positivity.
For me, the future of sex positivity is a lot about just education and openness, like having people understand where you're coming from and who you are and accepting their versions of sex positivity into your life as well as teaching them to accept yours, you know, allowing people to be a part of a community that they may not have come into earlier, allowing people to experience things on their own terms and not dictating terms for them and allowing them to accept your terms in turn. And to me, the future of sex positivity is very much about expansion and about making sure that everyone has a space to express themselves.
Amen, sister.
Amen. Amen.
So thank you very much, Tex.
Thank you, Monica.
And Lex, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Monica. We had a great time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Okay, so we're in the clounge, still in the clounge. It's hard to leave the clounge, actually. Clounge. And so many interesting, beautiful people to talk to. And they are literally shooting the porn with the dart guns. Shooting, it's a porn shoot, get it? They're shooting the porn. So, Illy, thank you so much. It was lovely to see you again.
It's really good to see you again. The last time I saw you, we were up and away.
Yes. Yeah. That's right. We are our magical aeronaut adventure.
We did have one. It was a lot of fun.
I remember also being at the hay maze with you, talking in the parking lot.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Right.
We haven't done the hay maze in a couple of years.
Right.
But it's a lot of fun when we do it.
It is.
I think they're in talks about doing it again, though, which would be really cool because it's a pretty successful party.
I bet.
And fun.
Well, and you do a lot of different parties around San Francisco's sparkly, sex-positive culture. I know that you sometimes do dancing and performing.
I do. Obviously, I've performed with Goofer Man for several years and done stuff with Vaudeville Society and, you know, all of that kind of in cahoots with Bohemian Carnival, which has kind of been laying low for a couple of months. But now I think we're heading back into an every other month situation soon for 2012, which is exciting.
Yay.
Which in and of itself is a sex positive thing.
Yeah, right.
It's a very fun, sexy party.
Random beauty,
weirdness. Absolutely. Complete weirdness.
Yeah.
Everything from, you know, sexy clowns to just great musical acts. And, I mean, the circus performance in and of itself is great. There's always really good aerialists and dancers. Mm-hmm. It's a great show.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Illy. It's nice to see you again.
It's nice to see you again. Take care of yourself.
Ooh, I will. Yes, keep on the good work here in the clowns. Woo.
Ah, thank you. Yeah, you know, I think we're going to be doing more of this at Mission Control. This is our second time to kind of host this, and we're kind of under this new umbrella of Clown Corps. We were doing Circus Metropolis for a while, and we decided to kind of focus it just on clown stuff. And so this is our second time to do the room at Kinky Salon, and we're having so much fun.
It's like, it's really so ridiculous. Like, too. I really was like, oh, there's a porn shoot here later. Okay, whatever. And then I didn't notice really the shooting at the porn.
Oh, yeah.
You know, until a bit later. Yeah. And then I was like, oh.
I know.
Right.
So the funny thing is like, when our cohort, Eric Reed, came up with this idea, I was a little like, all right, porn shoot. I get it. You know, I get it. And then we ended up spending like 5 hours last Saturday night. This is what we did on a Saturday night. We're like, let's watch some porn and let's find out how fun this actually is. And so
it seems pretty fun.
It's really
and the porn is so
well. It's sexy. Whoa. It's fun to watch, but then you also get to kind of look at the humor that's involved in sexuality and porn because I think there is that there. It's
right.
Not just. You know, I mean, sometimes it's funny, let's face it.
Yeah,
you know,
totally. If you can't laugh during sex, really.
If you can't laugh, you know.
There's ridiculousness. There's humanity. There's so much.
Absolutely. And it's and shooting a Nerf gun at it is kind of the best, actually.
Right, yeah.
You know? And I was probably the one who is more like, I always tend to to be the one who's like the naysayer of the group, like
slightly skeptical. You're like, I just want to make sure that this is fun.
Show me how funny this idea is. And then after, of course, staying home on a Saturday night and having a couple of cocktails and doing this, I was like, this is stupid fun. Why is this so fun? Why is this so fun? It's because we're all children.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
And, well, and you know, it's interactive. Like, you can actually, like,
yeah,
you know, and it's kind of like, like almost a critique in a sense of some porn, because I mean, then you sometimes you're like really watching, and then sometimes you're like, whoa, what is that? Bam.
I have to say that when I get most excited about whatever is on the screen, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna hit that right now.
Right,
that's real nice. I'm gonna go for that.
Hit that.
You know, I there's not enough women that admit that they like porn.
Right,
it's really kind of a bizarre culture to me. It seems to be more towards like men and porn and whatever, but you walk in this room tonight and you kind of see the positive nature of porn and women and how it resonates with them as well. I love that.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's important. I mean, I think that we get this idea that only men like porn, but
false. I don't need a guy around to look at porn. I don't want a guy around when I let you. I mean, so, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not doing this for you.
I'm not doing, yeah. Absolutely.
I actually enjoy myself.
I know. And it's really funny. I think that if more men ask their girlfriends, like, oh, well, what is it that you're, like, I think they'd be surprised. Because it does vary from partner to partner, like what you're...
We're all special, magical, weirdo little flowers.
I know. I love that, though. You know, I love that everybody has their own thing that they have going on. So, yeah.
Well, Illy, thank you so much.
You're so welcome. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, likewise.
Awesome.
Yay. Thank you.
Shut up. Oh.
Hi there.
Don't shoot my breasts.
Oh. I love heckles. Thank you for creating this beautiful environment. So beautiful. So weird. Thank you. Bo from Gooferman.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to tell us about the world that we've created in here, the weird, kinky little world?
Well, it's all about nerves. You know? We had the Sensation Station last week, or last month, and now we're developing this nerve thing that we're going to take into the field.
I love it.
Sooner than later.
I love it. It's
possibly
so interactive. It's so
maybe
weird.
A whole nerf tournament. We're doing
you could get points for hitting different things.
Well, the truth is the points thing needs to be figured out.
You would have to like actually count,
we kind of
and
made
that
the
might
points
be
all
no
up
fun.
Tonight. Don't tell
right.
anybody.
Oh, you made it up?
You just have to say it with authority, call the points with authority, and everything's cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You're like, so I've done this before. Worth. Trust me, I'm a professional.
Taint is double.
Right.
Asshole is double. That's all I know. The rest of it's...
Luckily, there's a
I
lot here.
I don't even know what that means.
There's a lot of choices.
There really is.
There's a lot to aim at.
There is.
Yes, that was a baseball
and
bat.
And this thing keeps looping over here. That works well. That was a baseball bat, too.
Yeah,
off
it really
Belladonna,
was.
Off of Belladonna, I believe that
yes.
was.
I was like, whoa.
Full baseball bat.
You want some lube with
full
that.
Full-on Louisville slugger.
Woo!
I've seen that before.
God bless America.
She's a randy one, Belladonna. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because well, I think porn stars are like professionals at getting turned on. Like the rest of us, you know, we need
yeah.
like some rose petals and candles and some sacred space and
right.
stuff and maybe some lube. And they're like, nope, I've got weird lighting. I've got a bunch of hairy guys with cameras standing and looking at me. I've got someone I've never met.
It worked for some. She
and
likes
I
it.
I am going to have so many orgasms right now.
This
it's amazing.
Totally fine with it. I've seen her before in porn. And she's a maniac. So maybe you're right.
They're like professionals. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so lovely to touch base with you. Thank you for making this beautiful, weird room.
It's working out.
Yeah. Nice work. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
We're now kind of in the bar area here at Kinky Salon. It's Hoobalation, the big Christmas party. You know, when you came in the door, I watched you come in the door with your big lollipop. And it was like, everyone was like, oh my God, it's Rose Pistola. Oh my God, she's here. What's your experience with family and
okay,
Kinky
so
Salon?
This is a special event because it was our first. So my partner and I, we've been together 8 years and we've been in the community from the beginning. And Hoobalation was our first and it's our most special. And we always know our family comes back to this one, even though the community is diverse and now we're all off doing our things in the world. We have this moment of return where we can play together in this really beautiful way. And for some reason, you know, the holidays are going to be rough for everyone. And if we can offer each other a little extra love in and make it fun again, it's like we all want to believe in Santa Claus. But, you know, we all want to really just be giving to each other and loving and knowing what it's really about and not all the crap.
Commercialism has kind of taken over Christmas. It's not about the presents. It's about being present, right?
Exactly. Presents versus presents. And yeah, I'm working with moms, and so I'm teaching them about presents mean so much. Presents mean so much more to your child than presents.
Right.
So if you can do that, then it doesn't matter how much money you have, you're going to make it work and you're going to take care of them. So,
like, if you actually give your kid attention, which is what they really want, you don't have to. Yeah.
It's really about love. So showing up for yourself and your family, you know, we're all learning to do that with others because we're making up for lost time because some of us didn't have good models to begin with. So we're kind of healing each other's family models in a playful way. And we're coming together to play, you know. It's a self-cleaning oven. Like, kids do it naturally. It's like dreaming. But, you know, we're not using the tool enough.
Interesting. So play as a way to clear your unconscious. That's kind of like art therapy. Clear your unconsciousness by creating, by playing, by... Oh, interesting. That's I never thought of Kinky Salon as a space like that, but it totally is, especially because it's a space inside of sexuality and there's sexual freedom involved and there's so much complexity. I bet this is really quite a trip into the subconscious for people.
It's a liberated play space where the rules are clearly defined, that they can come here and be in this role and play together, and then they can leave and go back to their lives and they can integrate it as makes sense to them. But they had like a really cool experience. They might not understand it totally, you know, and they helped create it. They were a part of it. And then the next time they come back, they bring even more to it.
Rose Pistola, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for doing the work that you're doing. And, you know, it's really meaningful.
And now I am dancing with a big blue bunny.
Yay.
Yay. It's Scotty the Blue Bunny,
That's
everyone.
That's right. You got it, girl. What's going on?
I am soaking up this party. Isn't it beautiful and
it's
weird?
It's kind of interesting.
And we heard and saw and narrated, actually, you riding that balloon to the
What
completion.
Do you think? What did you think?
I love it.
It's my greatest work ever. Do you know that?
You have
it's
so
my
many
genius.
Good works, though.
No,
really.
It's my genius. Sitting on that balloon was my genius. I was like, how can I do the shortest act ever in the whole world? And I was like, I can blow up that giant balloon and sit on it in under a minute.
But you draw it out. I mean, you make it a whole thing. I mean, there's like little hand motions and like suspense building.
Well, I want the people I work for to get their money's worth.
So we're thinking about the future of sex positive community, right?
Yes.
So what are we creating? What's the world going to look like as a result of the weirdness and the beauty that we are spinning out into the universe tonight?
I think that what everyone is looking for is a sense of connection that is not a reaction. Do you understand? And I think that sex is a way to really engage on this level where you're reacting, like your body gets erect or filled with blood, but people are consciously exposing themselves to these situations where their deep, dark animal, their programming, their biology reacts, and then they're consciously participating with it. I think that's evolution. I think that's the next step in conscious evolution, saying, I know how my body is going to react in these situations, so I'm going to go all the way with like-minded people, and then I'm going to deliberately enjoy, like I'm going to participate consciously in that. That's, to me, that's the interesting thing.
Well, you do have to participate consciously in this kind of environment where there is so much sexuality and so much interaction and complete strangers. It's completely outside what we've traditionally done.
Right, but the decision to be open is what conscious evolution. I'm a big yogi, and I think that the decision to be open is humanity at its best, because otherwise you're just closed off. Nobody really makes the decision to be closed off, but when you make the decision to be open and vulnerable and chancy and wild and adventurous, that is what differentiates us from a muskrat or a gerbil or a fruit bat. Because fruit bats don't really decide to throw a sex positive gathering,
right.
Which also really Polly and Scott are very, this is a very conscious thing. Like, this is serious art making, And this is, I don't know if this happens really anywhere else in the world. I've been all over. I've met a lot of wackajabadugadegadubada. And I think that this is a very particular group.
And of course, Scott and Polly do welcome people to throw their own kinky salons, as we've talked about earlier in the show. And of course, they even teach kinky salon boot camp so that people can learn how to create kinky salons everywhere. But of course, it always looks like the moment. It always looks like the community around them. And it always looks...
Well, I think
probably
you can,
not
you
the
can
same
only
here.
All you can really do is open the door and appeal to people's greater virtue. So they're not creating these situations to deal with people on a negative vibe at all. This is just like being a 4-year-old with a morbid sexual curiosity and working that out as an adult. Being able to drive home and everybody's having conversations, and then there's just the time to shut up and get fucked. I've been in other sex positive environments in New York, and the thing about Scott and Polly is that there really is a strong sense of play. And play is innocent, you know, and mutual respect. So that's it. What are you going to do? You're going to complain, or are you going to just...
Jump on in.
Or jump on in, or just watch and be supportive and smile. And there's a space for everyone to enjoy their level, their particular level. I don't think you have to be... I think certain people come here, and it's a singular goal. But other couples come, and it's a very open... And I mean, come on, these people, it's San Francisco. We're not here to just, like, if you be rude, you know, it's really not that at all. I mean, the clown porn shoot, the dart guns at the porn, like, porn shoot. Come on, that's advanced. That's really advanced psychology.
Yeah, and I didn't even get it at one. I was sitting in there, they're like, yeah, they're... The clowns, and we're doing a porn shoot. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, really, they must be doing porn later. Whatever.
Right, right. And then they're like,
they're
no, you shoot the guns at the porn.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, I'm relieved. I'm relieved of the burden. I'm relieved of the burden I brought into the party. I'm a giant gay dressing up like a rabbit, and I've been relieved of my burden. You know, now I'm like, okay, who wants to touch me? And it's not about, no, I'm not, I don't need, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's all rainbow energy.
So what is the big bunny suit about? I mean, and we've touched on a little bit of Buddha, a little bit of something that you're bringing to the world. What are you bringing to the world?
Well, I started with the Bindleston Family Circus. And in the circus, there's a great tradition of people dressing up like as animals. And I had been doing drag for a while, but the double life didn't really suit me. And I realized that dressing up in drag was appealing to this fantastical idea I had about myself. It wasn't really grounded in gender. And I have to say that the circus really gave me a place to experiment. And I found the bunny. I made a joke. I put some ears on, and that was it. It was my trademark.
Tell me about family. We're all here celebrating a family holiday together. What are we doing, and what is the family that we're creating?
We're just, there's a certain group of people that realize that perception is the gift that we have. So we want to build the biggest illusion, the best, most beautiful illusion around ourselves that we can. So.
And you can make anything that you want.
Right. But a chosen family versus a birth family. A birth family is just going to put expectations on you. Whereas a chosen family that you find, a found family, is going to encourage you to investigate and be open. I mean, some birth families are like that. And I know that in my personal experience, my family and I have worked really hard to find some middle ground. But I think people that ran away, some people run away from their homes and they go to New York. And some people run away from their homes and they come to San Francisco. And the people that run away from their families, in quotes, that find San Francisco, it's all about bright fuchsia, pink fun fur, and the Burning Man tradition. And I don't know, I think that kind of family is a lot of fun.
We have a lot. Most of our listeners are in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But the other big chunk is in Beijing. And then we've got a couple scattered around Europe and the Middle East.
Right.
Is there anything that Scotty, the Blue Bunny, and all of your world traveling, sex positive, crazy, interesting experiences would like to say to those people listening far away?
I know that you're only getting a tiny sliver of the reality that you dream about. And I want you to absolutely 100% know, understand, and believe that the wild fantasies you dream about are completely real and accessible. That's what I want you to know, is that I know that some people are desperate for this kind of life, and we're out here waiting for you. Do everything you can to come find us. Tell us your stories. We're waiting to embrace you and hold you. The dream you dream about is real. It's not a fantasy. It's a way of life that exists. And we're waiting for you. Come find us. Find us.
Or create it where you are. Amen. That's right.
Ah. Well, I also think it's important to travel and see how everyone fucks. You think you know how people fuck where you are. You need to travel and see how people fuck.
It's true.
Yeah, how people make out and kiss and touch. It's different wherever you go. So come find us. I'm waiting for you. Look for me. I'm wearing the big bunny suit.
That's right. It's Scotty the Blue Bunny. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
It's been my distinct honor to speak.
Thank you for coming on Sexploration with Monica.
Yeah!
You can download free podcasts at sexplorationwithmonica.com.